Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. You're listening to American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Eva Tagliano, Walker Wildman, and Steve Jordahl. Steve's taking the place now of Fred Jackson. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
I'm here. I'm getting dressed.
Steve, well,
for those of you on
that are on radio.
Not literally.
I'm putting my headset on, and it was not going well. But I'm here.
Steve's getting that fixed. By the way, just real quick, we've got a opening for a on our Holy Land tour, March 8th through the 16th. We had a gentleman cancel, so we have the room for another male to take his place. If you want to go on our trip to the Holy Land in March, again, one male. So we don't put males and females together who aren't married. Good. If you're a roommate on our Israel trip, you have to be of the same sex.
Gender,
is that a good policy? Gender
is important.
Yeah.
Here at American Family Association.
So if you're, I got something to tell you about that in just a minute. But if you want to go with us to Israel on March 8th to the 16th, and you are a single man and you don't mind having a roommate, then give us a call at 662-844-5036. Extension 227. That's American Family telephone number, 662-844-5036, extension 227. And we will, it's a first come, first serve, obviously, situation, but we did have that cancellation, so we have a space available for someone who wants to go with us to Israel. Or you can read about it at twholyland.com, twholyland.com. You know, I got 1,000 stories about, because Allison, my wife, and I have led these tours for, I don't know, 20 years or so, but inevitably, almost once a tour, we'll have somebody send in their registration in the mail, and especially if it's a woman and she's single.
Right.
She'll write on there, not everybody does this, but I'm just saying it happens once.
Yeah.
They'll send a registration form with their deposit, and it'll say, you know, underneath there's like special notes that you need to be telling me or the tour leader. And it'll say, single woman would like a roommate, female, please, exclamation point. So think about this for a minute. You're going on a Christian tour to Holy Land. And there is some doubt in your mind whether Tim Wildman might put me as a single female with a man to room with in Israel. So you think that's a possibility, so I better make sure I tell them I do not want to room with another man. I don't know.
And they don't have to worry, because even if it's a man who identifies as a woman, they're still not going to be forced
they're still
to
not on this tour.
Right, not on this tour.
And they put an exclamation point at the end of that.
Just make sure you see it.
Single woman, I want a roommate, but make sure it's a female. Tim, exclamation point.
Have you ever had one that said with a female, if possible? You ever had anyone?
No, because I'd send her a deposit money back. You wouldn't want that person on your trip. Oh, my word. Okay, Steve Jordahl, what's going on?
I heard you guys talking about Christmas music the other day. I wanted to play something. This is a cover from a group named Apologetics, and it is a cover of a Queen song. Now, for those of you who grew up like all three of us except for you, Walker, in the 70s and 80s, Queen comes with its full share of problems, but one of their most famous songs is Bohemian Rhapsody. I want you to listen to what Apologetics has done with this, and Merry Christmas to you all.
Is this the real birth? Is it nativity? Caught in a census in the town of his ancestry. in your eyes, look up to the skies and see. He's just a poor boy, foretold by prophecy. Because the wise men come, wise men go, angels high, shepherds low.
There you go.
Who is that now?
It's called
Apologetics. I love Apologetics. They do some great
work. Is that all a cappella?
No.
It's the whole Queen Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, I'm sure they'll get into the regular.
It
real
goes into
guitar
the whole thing.
Work
and in the video that I saw, it came with a puppet show of angels and shepherds and everything.
But actually, yeah. I thought when you came in between the during the break, I thought you were talking about, because the song I have from Apologetics that covers Bohemian Rhapsody is Bethlehem Rhapsody, but it's about David and Goliath.
Yeah.
It's great.
They've apparently covered it a couple of times, and they do a very good job at it, but this one has the whole Christmas story.
I wonder if they have to pay Queen.
No, because it's satirical, I guess.
Well.
But it's not satirical. What do you call it when you...
tribute?
Because what's his name? That Weird Al Yankovic does it all the time.
Parody.
Parody, yeah.
Yeah, but I think Weird Al Yankovic still pays money, royalties to, because the melody is definitely Queen.
I want to see what they're going to do with We Are the Champions.
Well, that would be maybe after the rapture they'll come out with
We'll after the rapture? Oh, yeah, I got you.
I have to ask him.
All right, moving on.
Yeah. So over the weekend, my friend at the... Now I got started and I just... okay, so CBN News has an interview show, and they got Vice President Mike Pence to sit down and talk with David Brody, who's a former colleague of mine. Anyway, they were talking about faith in the White House, and
right.
Vice President Mike Pence had something to say about President Trump. Listen to this.
I've been with this president in the Oval Office with religious leaders when people have asked to pause for a moment of prayer, and the president readily embraces that. I think he's always very humbled and grateful by the support of believers. But let me be clear, President Trump is a believer, and so am I. And we understand the role of faith in the life of this nation. And the American people, I think, can be encouraged to know that in President Donald Trump, they have a leader who embraces and respects and appreciates the role of faith and the importance of religion in the lives of our families and our communities and our nation.
That's Vice President Pence speaking about President Trump.
That's right, saying he's a believer. I reached out to our friend Dr. Robert Jeffress, who said he has no comment about the faith of President Trump because he doesn't discuss matters between the two of them, but he says, I know Vice President Pence, and I respect his integrity and his insight into the matter.
Right. Mm. Well, as I've said before, I don't know, you know, the president personally, so I don't know. Vice President Pence says he's a Christian, a believer. What I would say is, with regard to President Trump, we just hope that he doesn't get the fruits of the Spirit anytime soon.
You want him to remain combative.
Carnal.
Wow.
And I'm kidding.
Tongue in cheek.
I think he can drain the swamp and still maintain his integrity.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, I remember Dr. Robert Jeffress, our friend back during the primary, because remember, he was on the Trump train early.
Yep. Yes, he was.
And took a beating from people like us.
Yep. Yeah, yes, he did. I thought he was wrong in
what
he was doing.
You know, and he took it, to Robert's credit, he didn't ever fire back and get mad at people like
no.
us.
No. He handled it like the man of God.
Well, I asked him one time, I said, well, did you know President Trump was going to win? Did God tell you that? And he said no. But he just thought that Robert thought that he was the only one that could beat Hillary Clinton. And he also wanted the toughest, I'll stop right there.
Yeah.
Person, I'm not saying Robert Jefferson.
I think he said son of a gun.
Son of a gun.
Yeah.
But he paused there, son of a gun. And but what he was saying was he wanted somebody who's going to be tough and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
and get down and fight like a street fighter. And he viewed Donald Trump as that man.
He figured, and I think accurately, that you couldn't be a typical diplomatic politician and drain the swamp. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm. That's what he thought. All Dr. Robert Jeffers considered all the rest of them pretty much to be maybe great guys and everything, but they weren't tough enough.
They couldn't beat Hillary, and they would not be tough enough to.
That's what he thought. And I think he's right in retrospect.
I think so too.
Even though.
Whether or not President Trump can drain the swamp or not remains to be seen.
Right. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was about. I don't know. How did we get off on that?
You asked me to talk about
Mike Pence. Mike Pence.
Oh, Mike Pence. Mike Pence. And please don't send me emails. Tim, you said you were hoping President Trump wouldn't get the fruits of the Spirit. I just think you're wrong there, and you need to rethink that. And no, I'm kidding, because President Trump, and I don't agree with everything President Trump does or says by any means, but you do need somebody that's going to stand up to the liberal media.
We need a fighter.
You'd rather have a David than a Solomon.
Yeah, I think the times require it. And the fact that President Trump beat Hillary Clinton is a miracle. You say what it's a political miracle. If you don't believe in divine intervention, it was a political miracle that he beat her. And so if you're Vice President Pence, who's, by the way, the polar opposite of Donald Trump.
Mike Pence?
Personality-wise. Huh?
Mike Pence?
That about put me to sleep right there.
Yeah. Huh?
With no disrespect to the vice president, but he could read. He could read about 5 minutes, and I'm probably going to go to sleep.
You're never going to accuse Vice President Mike Pence of firing up the crowd.
He's not a firebrand. No, he's not a firebrand. And I'm not criticizing his style. I'm just saying it's quite the opposite from President Trump. I would like to be a fly on the wall when they're just meeting alone, President Trump and Vice President Pence. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, all right, go ahead. See, we better move on.
The one of the other things that happened since last we spoke was the trial of Kate Steinle in San Francisco wrapped up, and Jose Garcia Zarate was found not guilty of all the charges, with the exception of one firearms charge. Basically, Zarate, after disputedly picking up a gun and shooting Kate Steinle on a San Francisco pier back in 2015, got off scot-free. And one of his attorneys, now, if you're a defense attorney, a lot of people think you come from the armpit of the law anyway, maybe the armpit of Satan. But Jose Garcia Zarate is speaking immediately after the trial and the verdict was announced, and this is what he had to say.
I believe today is a vindication for the rights of immigrants, that today we have to reflect, all of us, on how we talked about this case in the beginning and how this swarm of reflection and reaction on the base of what I believe to be the racial dynamics of this case. Nothing about Mr. Garcia Zarate's ethnicity, nothing about his immigration status, nothing about the fact that he is born in Mexico had any relevance as to what happened on July 1st, 2015.
Yeah. Now, he was found not guilty of...
It was an accident.
He was found not guilty of murder, which were the charges. And now some say he probably could have been found guilty of some form of manslaughter and that the defense or the prosecution didn't offer up that possibility.
Well, we weren't there. I didn't hear the court case. What if it was an accident?
Accident five times?
You're still...
Well, he didn't shoot her five times.
No, but more than one shot went off, I understand.
The thing is, whether you intend to shoot someone or not, to some extent, everyone is held responsible for the bullet that leaves their firearm. And so I don't know what that doesn't mean they can get prosecuted for murder necessarily, but Just because you shoot someone accidentally doesn't mean they
did. I know, but did he rob her? Did he rob her?
No.
No.
Well, what would have been the motive? What would have been the motive? What would have been? Excuse me. What was the motive for him killing her?
Well, that doesn't matter either. He fired a weapon and she died because of the result.
I know that, but I'm trying to understand how the decision would have come down like it did.
Nobody is accusing him of intentionally targeting her. They, by all accounts, had never seen each other before. And in defense of Mr. Zarate, the bullet ricocheted off of a pier and got her. So it may have been an accident, but he is a felon, a convicted felon, who is in possession of a gun. And because of his mishandling of that gun or perhaps anger over something, discharged the firearm, killing Kay Stanley. Now, what really got me about what you just heard from the lawyer, and by the way, his name, the lawyer, is Francisco Yergate. He was speaking right after the verdict was handed down. What really astounded me was that he said that that Zarate's immigration status, his ethnicity, any of that had nothing to do with his case. However, he was deported and came back into this country five times. So he shouldn't have been on the
Zarate, not the lawyer.
Zarate.
Right.
Should not have been on the pier in the first place, and to say that it has nothing to do with ethnicity or immigration at the same time you're scolding the president and the public who believe that this should not have happened is just beyond the pale to me.
Yeah, because that was the whole thing. When Bill O'Reilly was talking about this, and this has been going on for a while, 2015 was when Stanley died. That was the point. The point wasn't just, hey, let's just pick out some poor woman's death and make a big thing out of it. The point was that Zarate shouldn't have been here in the country. Mm-hmm. And San Francisco is a sanctuary city.
That's the other point that needs to be discussed. It is a sanctuary city. In light of what happened, we have a new bill that a Republican Indiana congressman, Representative Todd Rakita, has introduced a bill that he's calling the SLAP Act. It stands for Stopping Lawless Actions of Politicians. This bill would mandate fines and possible jail time for politicians in a sanctuary city that refuse to give up the people that ICE is going after, basically refuse to follow the law to deport dangerous criminals.
You know, we're in a very worrisome, I guess you could say, situation in our country when evidently half the country believes that people have a right to be here illegally and they don't believe in borders. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Democrat Party is today. I mean, that you would think that would be one of those things that's a given. You know what I'm saying? That's accepted by both parties. You know what I'm saying? That you should secure your border. That you should not have massive illegal immigration into this country. When the Democrat Party believes, I know why they're doing it, but it's so. I don't know what the right word I'm looking for here. Detrimental to the health of our nation. But the Democratic Party believes, basically, by their actions and by their words, that we ought to allow, we ought not have borders. They will say yes. They would say no. That's not right, Tim. We should have borders. But they, in essence, they don't believe it because they don't believe in enforcing the illegal immigration laws, of the laws against illegal immigration. But what they want to do is have these folks come over, as they have, and then make them legal. That's what this DACA is going to start on. The debate again, make them legal, and then therefore, if you make 13, 14, 15 million, how many people legal, right, through an amnesty program, like we did in the 80s when President Reagan was here and thought that was the end of it, then that will be the death of the Republican Party as we know it. And that's what the ultimate goal of the Democrat Party is.
Because those people, the Democrats, think that those illegals that have been now made okay and on the path of citizenship will vote Democrat.
Yeah. Well, they will.
It'll be a loyalty thing. Yeah. Whichever party legalizes the illegal immigrants, there'll be a natural loyalty to that party.
Mm-hmm. There'll be a natural loyalty to that party. Of course, there wasn't a natural loyalty to the Republicans when President Reagan did that. They didn't thank him. So these folks come from a socialistic country,
right?
Mexico and or Central American countries, and so that's the way they're used to voting. Mm-hmm. And so it will be the death if you're able to. And that's the goal of the Democrats. You say to yourself, why aren't they for enforcing the laws, the borders, and why are the Democratic Party against voter ID laws? Mm-hmm. These things just seem common sense. No, they want, you know, these things because so they can take over the country through the ballot box.
Right.
With people who are here and have been made illegal. Mm-hmm. So Kate Steinle, he was found. Now also the deportation.
Yep.
He was deported five times.
He was deported
this
five times.
You're talking about?
And then came in at least six.
Okay, yep. You had a case over the weekend also that came out in Oregon. You have that case?
I think I do. It was just the guy that had
20 times.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find that. I have it
wow.
here.
This no, is seriously.
Sexual predator.
We're not making this up.
Yeah.
Wow. A sexual predator in Oregon. Do you have that in front of you?
Yeah, this is a man who was deported 20 times from the U.S., convicted. He has been convicted of 10 counts in this latest case, including sexual assault in Oregon on Friday. His name is Sergio Jose Martinez. He's 31 years old. He was sentenced to 35 years in prison in a Portland courtroom after pleading guilty to kidnapping, sexual assault, sodomy, and several other counts. And it was reported that throughout the trial, and as he left, he gave a grim parting shot to two of his victims' relatives. He said, "I'll see you guys in hell," and he grinned.
Yeah, I don't know why we deport. Does anybody know why we deport?
Well, in this case, we don't. And in fact,
we did 20 times, right?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It doesn't mean that.
Why do we deport? Because they're here illegally.
It doesn't mean that 20 times he was convicted of a felony and they deported him.
No. Here's my point, fellas. The one that killed Kate Steinle.
Right.
Yeah.
Zorante.
That he was deported five times, right?
Yes.
This fella here has been deported 20 times?
Yes.
My point is, and yes, it's being a little bit facetious, but I don't understand why we deport if it doesn't matter.
Right.
Just save a lot of money. Don't deport the guy 20 times.
If there's no border enforcement.
Just say we're not deporting anybody.
Right.
Because you know how much money the U.S. spent deporting a guy 20 times and there's no penalty to pay for him to walking right back across the border?
Right.
Well, part of the problem is you have some people who are following the law. The law says to deport them, and so you'd have to change the law.
No, you tell the here's how what you do. You tell the guy, we're deporting you today. We're sending you back to your country, repatriating you.
Yeah.
But now you come back over here illegal again, you're going to jail for 5 years.
Oh, I see.
No questions asked.
Right. If you get caught.
There's no penalty.
That would be Kate's law, which is hung up in Congress right now.
There's no penalty for these people. They just laugh when they're being deported. It's like, man, I get three free meals and a hot shower and get refreshed and
come back next week after I see my family.
Yeah, it's like the kids who figure out the worst their parents will do will slap them on the wrist.
Yeah, it's exactly. So my question is, I don't know the point in deporting if you can walk right
back. Well, you'd fill up your prisons probably.
Huh?
Yeah.
You add a couple million more people to the prison system.
Well, build a wall.
Yeah, but it would be a deterrent. Mm-hmm. Build special prisons.
Yeah.
Just for this reason. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Tim.
We're out of time. Thank you for your time, folks. Appreciate you listening. Keep listening to AFR. We'll see you next time.